Hey, Shane with Hard Money, Hard Knocks, a Bitcoin podcast dedicated to shine light on Bitcoiners, spreading adoption in their communities. Today, the current Bitcoin price is $23,087. $1 could buy you 4,331 sats, and the current block height is 745,933. And for today, I'm going to be doing a podcast with guys from the Nevada County Bitcoiners. So bringing on Matt and Alex. Welcome, guys. Thank you for coming on.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
You got it. So just a little background. I just came across these guys on Twitter today. The OC Bitcoin Network retweeted you guys saying give you guys a follow. So obviously a newer Bitcoin group. And I wanted to fill some time in my week, talk to some more Bitcoiners. So I hit these guys up and put together a last minute podcast. So here we are, and thank you guys for doing this. So why don't you just give a little intro to who you are? Alex, why don't you go first? Just a little bit, your Bitcoin background, when you got into it, and just kind of what attracts you to it.
Yeah, sure. So I remember being in college and hearing about Bitcoin for the first time, and that was in, 2009, 2010. And like a lot of people, I think I just kind of dismissed it as like a silly idea, like that will never work. Obviously, regret that very much now. Didn't really pay too much attention to it, kind of heard about it, through the news when there were big price runs or big crashes, but wasn't really focused on it. And then in 2016, I had a relative kind of just bring it up to me in some context. And it just made me, for whatever reason, think I should probably just like take a look at this and kind of get to understand it a little bit more, and started doing some research, got on Coinbase, bought my first Bitcoin. And then just kind of started going down the rabbit hole from there. And it's been a, like a 5-year, learning process since then. What attracts me to Bitcoin the most are sort of the possibilities for, people living in oppressive, situations under, authoritarian rule, and kind of, what benefits it can bring to people in those kind of situations.
Absolutely. I'm huge on the humanitarian aspects of what Bitcoin can bring to the world. Just so many people struggling for no reason, and sound money, what that can do for the people around the world is just, it's so powerful and really gets me bullish. Mm-hmm. And then Matt, how about yourself?
Yeah. So Matt, I was actually introduced to Bitcoin from Alex when we he gave a gift of two pieces of paper to my kids for their birthdays back in 2017 with 12 words written on them. And I kept the papers, luckily, and, just sat and watched and slowly kind of started to understand. But, I actually came from I worked for a very short time for a bank, a major bank. I hated it and I left. I wanted to be a police officer, and I actually went and did that for 8 years. So I was a police officer here in California for 8 years. Honestly, after a while, especially with Bitcoin and learning more and seeing more, kind of like what Alex was alluding to, I saw the disparities in the money system. Especially when working with poorer individuals who didn't understand, how money works. And honestly, I watched government for the, its existence is just to continue existing, and more money. And I saw the waste, and I got to the point where I wasn't happy and I didn't want to do it anymore. And I had an opportunity to leave and work remotely and spend more time with my wife and my kids. And so I took it. So like what Alex said, with the seeing how unfair the system is. And let me tell you, coming from with my background, I know how easy, even in this country, it is to have assets frozen. So people that think that it can't happen to them, they're wrong. It's very simple. All it takes is a phone call or a letter. And at least it's an inconvenience, if nothing else, whether or not you're proven guilty. And I don't think that's right. And, you know, leaving that profession was a good thing for me. And it was a good thing for my family. And we started this meetup to kind of just spread the word as best we could.
That's really awesome to have legacy financers perspective like that. And just, how much more obvious could it be? I had a lady ask me, I got out of my truck, was walking in my apartment, and some lady asked me, she's like, "Hey, what do you do?" And I was like, "Oh, I'm a Bitcoin miner." And she's like, "Oh, okay." And she's like, and I was like, "You know what that is?" And she's like, "Oh yeah, I do, sure do. I'm a banker." And I was like, "Oh, okay." So I tried an orange pillar and gave her a little pamphlet for our meetup and stuff. And I haven't seen her yet, so maybe some price action might draw her. But yeah, really cool background, and to be able to have that knowledge to talk to normies or trying to orange pill people provides a really beneficial, aspect to it, and can really help persuade more people to go start doing more research themselves and go down the rabbit hole.
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny that I grew up in a finance family, or, lending and all sorts of stuff. And it is interesting to watch, the more I talk about things, my folks are older, but the more they recognize kind of what I'm saying is at least something to look into. And that's always how I try and approach these things, is you're not going to do it overnight, especially with somebody that's been entrenched in a system for 70 years, 60 years. But all I ask is that, if they're willing to learn something, if they're willing to listen to somebody else, I think that you'll at least open their eyes, and they'll start seeing some of the whether or not they move across or, get fully orange billed is a different story. I think the younger you are, the more likely you are. But even if they just start seeing some of the cracks, they start making decisions or choices or looking at situations differently. And I think that's a benefit in the long run, whether or not they come to Bitcoin. We need responsible human beings and people that actually take, they're responsible for their own actions and realize that. And I think we'd all benefit from that, whether or not, it involves anything with Bitcoin. So I think that those small steps are really big for a lot of people.
Absolutely. And then, so you guys are doing the Nevada County Bitcoin meetup. So why don't you go, whoever wants to start it off, when did this start and kind of how did it get going?
You want to go, Alex?
Yeah, well, Matt was really the inspiration to get this thing off the ground. He started the meetup group and did some organizing and some sort of, guerrilla marketing, hanging flyers and stuff around to try and, get the word out there.
Do it.
Yeah. And then we had our first meetup last night, actually, at a brewery in Grass Valley. So it was exciting. I was a little nervous because I didn't know, how many people would show up or anything like that. But overall, it went really well. And yeah, we're looking forward to the next one.
Absolutely. Yeah, that first one is like, is it going to be, for your example, is it going to be Matt and Alex hanging out?
Yeah.
We were talking about, because my wife and kids came along. We were joking, like, are we just going to be showing, our kids the this presentation? Because we did everything. We worked together on a PowerPoint, which I know not everybody loves, but it was a good way for us to get this information out to everybody all at the same time. So we worked on a PowerPoint together, put it all together, super basic, anybody could understand type of thing. We brought a TV, we borrowed a power cord and plugged a computer into a TV. And, we're like, oh, now we just wait. That was one of those things that, I got a shout out in on TFTC. So I was like, oh, some people hit me up after that. So I was like, so hopefully somebody shows up. And yeah, we had four people show up that were totally, you know, totally outside our group. So we were all pretty stoked on that. That was, you know,
pleasantly could surprised. Have flopped,
but but everybody was engaged too. Like everybody was actually wanted to know more, had good questions. So yeah, we'll do it again next month.
And one thing I found out too is like you never know who's like listening on Twitter but isn't actively engaged with a Twitter space, you know, necessarily, but they see your information, whatever, and then next thing you know they're popping in. And it's like, you know, I wish you'd at least kind of reach out to me. It'd be cool to build some connections. But that's, you know, for your first turnout, that's a great start. And especially why don't you give a little background where you guys are at, since what does Nevada County consist of?
Yeah, so Nevada County is like right on the edge of the Tahoe National Forest. It's like just north of where gold was originally discovered in California. So this whole area has a big gold mining history, which is why the brewery that we went to was 1849 Brewing. I mean, they embrace it. There is technically still gold out here, with no active mines right now, but, so we're right on the edge of Tahoe. I mean, you can see it behind me, kind of Tahoe National Forest.
It looks beautiful.
If you get the glare. I mean, it's all out there. So we're, you know, right outside of Truckee, like snow. Summers are nice and hot. Winters are cold and snow. Alex actually made a trek for
this. A little bit of a trek. I live in the real Nevada. Not just the county. So Matt and I grew up together, in the Bay Area, kind of did our own things. I ended up moving out here to Nevada a few years ago. And then, you know, Matt kind of set up shop there, in Nevada County. And, you know, when he put this meetup together, it was like, well, it's a little bit of a drive for me to get there, but, you know, it's worth it. So
how far is that drive?
It's about 2.5 hours, so not too crazy, but it's enough, you know.
Oh, yeah. The Nashville meetup is extremely popular, and I've gone to that one, and it's about a 2 hour, 45 minute drive to 3 hour. And I did that one night, and I hate driving at night. It's definitely tough, but that's really awesome that you're doing that and making that commitment. Are there no other meetups kind of in that Reno area? Towards that direction?
There was a Reno Bitcoin meetup previously, and I don't know what happened to it. I think, I don't know if it was the organizer just kind of stopped posting or whatever, but it seemed like it died, at least for a while. We actually met one of the guys that came out to our meetup last night is looking at starting a meetup that he's going to have, you know, like host in Reno. And I think he's actually got it scheduled for the end of this month, like the 31st of July. So I think he's got his information on the Bitcoiner events page. Let me see what he said.
It's Bitcoiner events. So I mean,
yeah, Bitcoiner events. So if anyone is around the sort of Reno area and is interested in checking out a new meetup there, go check that out and support him. I'm going to do my best to kind of go to his meetups and support him and, you know, make the trek to Nevada City when we have ours.
Right on. And then have you guys, since you guys are close to Redding, have you guys connected with the Redding Bitcoin Center guys at all?
So Redding's a little far north for us. It's just anybody that hit us up on Twitter. We haven't really probably done as much as we should have in terms of connecting with other groups. You know, we honestly tried to just get this set up first. And then if it takes off, then, you know, we'll definitely seek out other individuals and other people to collaborate with. Cause you know, like we put our slideshow up on the meetup page so that we see, but it would be nice to get some ideas of what other people did. You know, I know that there's a lot that get sponsored and everything from some of these companies, but it'll be nice one day to actually, we will eventually reach out to other groups and kind of do more of a collaboration with them, because that would be pretty fun.
Well, since you guys are just getting going, you know, with the little following that Reading Bitcoin Center has made already, you know, having them, since who knows who's in between you guys and them, since it is, sure. You know, it is definitely a drive. I lived in Reading for a few years, so yeah. I know it's definitely a drive, but still, you never know who's reaching out to the Reading group because there wasn't anything else there. So
sure.
You never know what kind of connections you can make through them, and just they've been around, they got their own building, and could just be a very helpful group for you guys to lean on as well.
Yeah, it's a great idea. Yeah,
I didn't know that they actually had their own building and everything. That's pretty great.
They just got it not too long ago. So they do like a little studio. They do podcasts in there, have like a little classroom setting area. So pretty awesome. Cool what they got going on there. Definitely a sleeper in the making, I would say. So. And then, So how often are you guys doing your meetups then?
We're doing them once a month, third Wednesday of every month. You know, we both have full-time jobs and families too. And, so we figured once a month would be good. You know, I've been to Austin Bit Devs and stuff like that when we were traveling a little bit. And I know that a lot of groups do end up doing them, you know, a little more frequently, but, for what we have now, we figured once a month would be good. And if we see a lot of interest, we could always, you know, increase it, but, that's for now. For now, we'll stick with the once a month, see how we do and what people, how many people actually engage with us. It'll be pretty neat.
Yeah. And Alex doesn't need to pay those California gas prices.
Yeah. I fill up in Nevada and drive there and drive back on the same tank. So I don't have to pay those prices.
You're lucky. And you know, doing the meetups once a month, I don't want it. I got a full-time job too. I got a fiance working on, you know, just trying to get going as a couple and working on marriage and all that. And so I didn't want the meetup to be a full-time job. And I, you know, it's a great idea, especially when you're just getting going. If you're not wanting it to be a social event, it allows some time to have people build up some excitement. And it allows time for you guys to network this out more. So I think getting going, you know, that's definitely a great idea to not overdo yourselves. And, you know, I think it's a really easy way to go about this without making it be too much.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Definitely agree.
And then so are you guys going to be, what kind of structure are you guys looking to run your meetups like? You know, are you going to do a topic focus pretty much?
Alex, you want to go?
I mean, we're figuring it out as we go right now, but that's sort of our initial, you know, approach here. You know, yesterday we did a presentation that was really basic, just kind of like, you know, what is money? What is Bitcoin? And we have some ideas for future topics about, you know, obtaining and how to store Bitcoin in a self-custodial way. How Bitcoin mining and energy and the environment are all intertwined and how those relationships work. But it's really, you know, part of this first meeting was just to get a sense of where people are at in terms of their understanding already. I mean, we kind of had people from the whole spectrum there, which was kind of interesting. We had one person there who had basically no experience with Bitcoin, was really just there to start learning. We had some people that had some experience, and then, you know, the guy who's going to be hosting that Reno meetup, kind of surprised us with how much, experience he has in terms of, mm-hmm. he was using privacy best practices. He runs his own node, those kind of things. So, we're open to suggestions for what topics people are interested in. And, you know, yesterday was a relatively short presentation and then just kind of discussion. I think that was a pretty good format. So stick with that until something changes.
Yeah. I mean, if somebody had something specific, we'd do it. But right now it was kind of, you know, a little hand holding just because these were pretty new people. You know, some had bought Bitcoin, but had it, you know, with a custodian, and some literally walked in there and said, he doesn't know anything. And what, you know, he's here to learn, which was great. So it was nice to see that spectrum, because the thing you learn with Bitcoiners is, you know, even if everybody showed up and it was, they were pretty experienced Bitcoiners, that they would sit through a presentation, even on the most basic things, because we're all here to help each other, and you can't, you just can't get enough of it. So you'll sit through something like that to get somebody else's perspective, maybe make some, you know, changes, some, have some ideas. But so even if experts showed up, we would have done the same presentation, and I'm sure everybody would have sat right there through it just to have a conversation about it. And that's just, that's kind of what we like about this community. That's just such a benefit that I think that's lacking in a lot of other aspects in life and careers and all sorts of things. So.
Yeah, that's really cool. And same thing with our group. We definitely have more people who know quite a bit about Bitcoin. It's pretty surprising. So I always let them know, like, we're going to do this presentation. We made it. It may be a little tedious to you guys, and you may know it, but, you know, this is ultimately, I want it to be a place where new people could come and have a place to learn. And unfortunately, we're not getting new people in there yet. I'm doing the guerrilla marketing as well. Like, I put little business cards with QR codes, how to connect with us, like in urinals and stuff, and just in the most random places. So I'm always trying to spread the word out, and just, I'm eager for the day when I can, you know, orange pill people at our meetups, other members can orange pill people. And I want people to be able to leave there and be like, wow, I really learned something. And it's just a really cool aspect that meetups can provide. My first meetup I went to down in Newport Beach with Hidiwok Wook. Man, I learned so much from him, just, you know, how to put on a meetup and everything. And just he was showing me, like, how to get non-KYC Bitcoin and stuff, and just how to do the your seed phrase on the washers and everything, and just provided a real educational experience for myself. And I wanted to replicate that. So really cool that you guys are getting new people as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We'd like to be teaching people stuff like that too. That's one idea that I have. I don't know, you know, when, if, and when we'll implement it, but holding sort of workshops, going through specific skills, setting up wallets, you know, how to secure your seed phrase, those kind of things. I would love to be able to just kind of go through those processes with new people.
Yeah. And that's something you guys, when you do your presentation, you know, if, towards the end, just be like, hey, does anybody have a specific thing they want to learn, you know, such as setting up a wallet, what's Lightning, how to use Lightning compared to on chain. So that's, I just got a, Bitbox O2, cold storage. They gave up one for us to give away, and then one for a demo. So now I'm going to be taking that to every one of our meetups, and just if anybody wants to come learn how to use cold storage, just as, you know, get hands-on experience, they'll be able to do that. I made some stickers, and I sell them for 25,000 or 2,500 sats, you know, just so people can get experience learning how to use the wallets. So those could be some options for you guys as well, without trying to overdo it, doing workshops and stuff, you know, right off the get go.
Yeah. We, you know, we got some, we went through Bitcoin Hat Guy, and we got some custom hats made. We got like the shirts made at like a local, local shop. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, we threw one at the bartender when we got to the spot last night, even though, you know, he was working and stuff. So, you know, we tried to do that kind of stuff. We put up, like Alex was saying, we put up flyers, put QR codes for our meetups and where to learn more and stuff like that. And, you know, just spreading that word and getting it out there, is, it's great. I mean, you know, I'd love to have stickers and all sorts of things. It's really fun. It's, you know, you do have to kind of tailor it a little bit and make sure that you're not going overboard, because it's just personal money. Mm-hmm. Definitely important, and it's something that we care about. So, you know, it's worth it to us to keep doing that kind of stuff. So it's pretty good.
That personal money will be worth it if you continue to do this and meetups turn out to be what I ultimately think they may be. And I think that will be, you know, just a really, you know, kind of monthly hub for Bitcoiners to get together. More frequently. So I think they're going to be a vital aspect of the Bitcoin space. So thank you both for doing Satoshi's work. And, you know, that's why I wanted to do this podcast, is just there's so many great people doing work behind the scenes. You know, nobody's telling them to. They're wanting to do it on their own time. You know, mm-hmm. Most of them are using their own money. I know you may think that there's a lot of people getting sponsorships and everything, but there's not. But with time, you guys will get there too. So be patient. And it's really awesome what you guys have got going. And then let's see. So just kind of, what are your ultimate goals for the group? What would you like to see happen of it, and within the next year or so?
I think personally, just seeing our numbers grow, getting people, you know, again, we said right up front, we told them, this isn't financial advice. You know, we're not going to tell you to buy Bitcoin. You have to make that decision. But if you do, we're going to help you with best practices and stuff. So I think that developing skill sets is a big one. Anybody that wants to buy and onboard, then we'll help them with whatever we can. You know, the nice thing about this is it kind of also forces you as a coordinator to learn more than you know presently. So if you know you're going to be doing a talk on something, or you're going to be showing, you know, mixing, or you're going to, you know, Sparrow Wallet, or you're going to do something, seed signer, we got a seed signer, you better know what you're talking about, because you don't want to lead somebody down the wrong path. So I think that's something that I'm excited about too, to have, know personally, I will be growing in this space as well, definitely over the course of the next year, and then helping others. So.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. It does force you to like brush up on your knowledge and your skills when you're, getting ready to show that stuff to someone that, is seeing it for the first time or just doesn't have as much knowledge as you do. I would like to see, like Matt said, our numbers grow a little bit, but, I think it would be great if we could get sort of a crew of like recurring, members that come out to each one, and then also see, new faces. As much as possible to kind of spread the word.
Yeah. And the more months that go by, you could take my word, you'll definitely see those reoccurring faces. So
yeah,
it seems to definitely be a reoccurring theme throughout these meetups. It's definitely a lot of the same faces for the most part, but those same faces end up becoming friends. And, mm-hmm. Bitcoiners are genuinely good people for the most part. At least the true Bitcoiners I've met. So I always appreciate meeting the new people and just growing my circle. I'm in a new area, so it just allows me to reach out more. It's my one time a month I like to get out. I don't necessarily get out and do a whole lot otherwise. So I enjoy my computer time and just doing all my learning and stuff. Kind of go away from the meetups. So what is, let's start with Alex. What is your favorite, project about Bitcoin? Is it Lightning mining? What is it that you really get going down the rabbit hole on?
Yeah, good question. I'm really interested in mining. I mine at home. I would love to expand that into sort of a larger operation. I've looked into it a little bit. It's kind of tough, and mining profitability is not what it was a year ago, which means it's probably the right time to start now, but it's kind of it's a tough thing. I do like Lightning stuff. I I've run a Lightning node. I'm not super up on all the newest tech in Lightning. It's kind of hard to keep up with the development on Lightning, but really interested to see some of the new things that are coming out, like Taro, and just kind of following the progress with those things. But as far as like boots on the ground, what do I like to do personally? I really like getting into like the computers and actually building things and, making them work.
Are you a programmer as well?
No, I'm a geologist by trade. So completely not the same field at all. I wish I had some more programming knowledge, but I just know I've worked with computers in some capacity kind of my whole life. And I just enjoy working with them. So it's like the engineering part of my brain gets to nerd out on that.
Yeah, I never understood it. I was a sports guy growing up. So I never understood like people being obsessed with computers, but now that I'm getting into Bitcoin and just I've been getting on the computers more and more, I'm starting to understand it.
Yep.
It's almost a handicap if you didn't start young with it, because I remember, you know, when I was young, I was interested in computers too, but, you know, I never really nurtured that talent or that excitement. And now I'm, you know, I don't know much programming either. And it is a little unfortunate. For your question, so I'm pretty excited about, because we went to the last Bitcoin conference in Miami, and my big excitement is towards Strike and Jack Mahler's and Cash App with their promotion of their, you know, the merchant fees. For a long time, I've been a proponent of the merchants just getting robbed blind by credit card companies. So I was really excited to see Jack Mahler's go up there and do that, the King's Gambit speech about King's Gambit, which was this one, whatever it was. Anyway, whatever it was, he this year's speech and talking about the merchant adoption, you know, reducing fees. It's so pervasive in our financial system that all these fees are just getting sucked out left and right, which is getting passed on to us. You know, would food be 4% less expensive if they didn't have to account for all the credit card transactions that they, you know, that they have to take? Maybe not 4%, but it'd be cheaper. And I think it's just a more fair world. I think that, you know, there's already a lot out there that isn't fair. And it just makes me, I just get so excited about that payment space. Cause I always, every time I can, I'll pay somebody in Bitcoin and, replenish it with, you know, buy more when I spend it, because I believe in that ability to make those payments, especially with, you know, when Lightning came out and the instant payments, it just destroyed the narrative that it's slow. And I try and show everybody I can. I'll ask, you know, servers at restaurants, hey, if I tip you extra, but you have to take in Bitcoin, and, you know, show them that it's not a 10-minute block time. It is for Bitcoin, but that there's other options out there that make it much faster. But I just think that freedom of money is just such a big thing. So that's kind of where my excitement lies right now.
Yeah. And that's really cool. You know, the credit card transaction fees, living in California through COVID under Newsom-Leaney, you know, think about how many small businesses would have been able to survive through COVID and not shut their doors if they didn't have to pay those extra transaction fees to these, you know, credit card businesses and stuff. Just that money could be used so much more wisely. And especially if you do start accepting Bitcoin, what I try to tell businesses, if I do try to orange pill them to accept Bitcoin, is, you know, it's going to be such a small amount of payments overall. Why don't you just accept it? Because it's going to be less than 5% of your overall transactions. And all you got to do is just, that's our business's treasury. And we're just going to sit on that for a while. And 4 years later, then you could look into it or whatever. And I think that could just be such a cool aspect. And it trickles out into so many other fields, you know, just how much more money we could save overall for all the stupid little fees that we pay for, you know, the list is limitless. So that's a really cool thing. And I'm super hyped on that too, the Lightning Network payments. And I just want to be able to go to the grocery store and use Bitcoin to buy my necessities, because I want my full paychecks in Bitcoin. I'm super looking forward to that. I always go to the stores. I look up the, you know, that list that what Jack Mallers behind him, he had all the stores. So I pull that up. Oh, where are we at? You know, somewhere that's going to do that. When are you going to do this? I have no idea what you're talking about. Yeah, so exactly. I'll find out one of these days, just because I'm learning on my own and I just see it in front of me or something.
Yeah. And that's, you know, we all have certain things to say about payment providers, but anytime I see like a Cash App Pay, I always use Cash App Pay because I just think, you know, they're at least trying to do something about this and for the space. So if I encourage people, hey, look, I'll pay with Cash App Pay, scan a QR code, it kind of reinforces that for people that scanning a QR code is just like, you know, tapping your card pretty much. So you already have your phone in your hand, I guarantee it. So why not just use a Cash App Pay? They get a little bit of a discount on their fees and it's the same money for me. So, you know, that kind of stuff. It's already unfair. The world that we live in is unfair. We're not going to change it overnight, but these small steps I think are important to show people that there's at least an option if they want to. And if they don't want to, then they don't have to. But, you know, I think you ask any business if they would be willing to, you know, say, or if they wanted to save 2% more every year for their business, there's not one of them that would say no. And you already see them with Square, you know, Square terminals and stuff like that. So, it's such a baby step for them that's what I'd like to focus on, is really trying to help them save as much as they can, save it for their business, pass that along to consumers. But you know, it's small steps, and then you try and throw in Bitcoin on top of that, and it gets real confusing for people because they don't understand that it's literally the same thing as scanning a QR code, just over a different system. But I think we're getting there. You know, there's nothing happens overnight, and I think watching the merchant adoption, Shopify was a big one. I think that's pretty cool that we can do that now. And I really just hope that we keep advancing that technology and really getting the word out. Like, why are you being extorted by these credit card companies? It's not right. And you can save money. And I think that's how you're going to incentivize people. Like they say, you know, you just like for Bitcoin, you come for the number go up, but you stay for the revolution. And that's how you do it. You tell them you have an incentive personally with your business. You have an incentive to do this. And then they're willing to do it because it benefits them. And then they'll learn as they go. I think that's just huge. And I know merchant adoption was a big topic back in 2017? And it didn't happen. But I think we're getting to that place now with Strike, with Cash App, and the Lightning Network that really is going to change that. And I think it's just going to be great. It's going to be huge.
I was listening to something the other day and they were talking about being in Bitcoin early on. They encouraged transacting with each other to keep the network going. Mm-hmm. And now it's HODL and, you know, save it. And so such a different time, you know, crazy to think about how it shifted and just how early on we are and how much of it we get to watch unfold right in front of us. Alex, what about you? Did you you spend any sats at all, or are you one of those friends don't let friends spend Bitcoin?
I will spend sats when there's an opportunity to, like at the Bitcoin 2022 conference. You know, I paid for my ticket for 2023 with sats. You know, if someone is openly accepting Bitcoin, I'll definitely pay them in it because that's what I would want somebody to do for me. But you know, generally, if I do that, I'll just replenish that stack. So yeah, I am generally a holder, but I'll spend a little bit here and there.
And then, so who's been a vital aspect or vital figure in your growth of knowledge in Bitcoin, Alex?
Ooh, good question. I mean, there's so many that it's hard to pick just one. If I had to pick one though, it's probably gotta be Matt O'Dell for kind of really changing my perspective on privacy and the importance of financial privacy. And actually along with that, kind of Gladstein has also, you know, taught me a lot on the same kind of subjects. But yeah, if I had to pick one that's kind of changed my perspective the most and kind of, you know, it pushed me to try new things and learn new things, probably going to be Matt O'Dell.
Yeah, he really challenged me to, you know, think more beyond, you know, I was never be satisfied with where you're at in your Bitcoin journey and just always try to learn more and improve your financial sovereignty. And it was something too, like at one point with the privacy stuff, I'm it's kind of discouraging. It's like, damn, am I not doing it enough? You know, and it's like, well, shoot, I don't want to listen to his privacy talks because then I'm just going to feel like I'm not doing enough. And it's overwhelming for me at times. So, but once you can look past that and appreciate the topics that he's putting out there for people to learn, it is really impressive what he's doing. And especially there's not many others out there like him doing that.
Right. Yeah. One step at a time is the way to go with that kind of, with the privacy stuff, because it is overwhelming at first. And basically anything you can do is better than nothing. So just kind of just one foot in front of the other.
Yeah. And I've been noticing that in my journey is like, it just naturally happens. Like I just naturally, it's like, oh, I have a little bit of free time. Well, I'm, you know, come across this and next thing I know, I'm learning how to become a little bit more private or, you know, whatever. So, it's something to be patient with. You're never going to get it all at once. That's just Bitcoin overall. And no matter how much you think you know, there's always more to come and more to learn.
Yeah, it's a lifelong learning process for sure.
Yeah. And then, Matt, what about you? Who's been some of the top figures in your growth and knowledge?
Yeah, you know, I think that I know he gets a lot of hate in the community for a lot of reasons. Peter McCormack has just some of the most, the broadest, you know, guests just from every, all over the place. And I appreciate that because I know that only hearing one side of it all the time is limiting as a person. So I know some people don't like him, but I think he's a good one. He's a good advocate and he brings on some good talent. Matt O'Dell is a big one too. And Marty, I've always enjoyed their rabbit hole recaps every Thursday. But also Robert Breedlove, his first series with Michael Saylor on What Is Money. I think that was a good one, because of my positions dealing with some older people, being able to come in with a different perspective. They're not here for the revolution because they're probably not going to live to see it, right? But they can understand watching their Social Security check that used to pay for their entire, you know, their month's living last month, all of a sudden didn't quite make it this month, and then a year from now is half their rent and they're going back to work at Walmart. And why did that happen? So, you know, the What Is Money show with Robert Breedlove, but the specifically that series with Michael Saylor, and anything Jeff Booth, Luke Groman, or Preston Pish do too. I'm always up on those. I like hearing what people far smarter than me see with what's going on in the world. So those are definitely some of my bigger ones.
Oh yeah. And then let's see. And then just to kind of start wrapping it up, what are your final thoughts on the Bitcoin space overall right now, with what's going on? You know, there's some crazy stuff happening in the world. You're seeing stuff happen with the banks in China and just some really cool stuff. So what are some of your thoughts on the Bitcoin space right now?
You know, I think that regular people are starting to see what can happen when a government decides retroactively that something they did they didn't like. For example, I don't really care how people feel about the trucker protest. Yeah, I mean, the trucker protest was a big red flag because people were doing things that were not illegal at the time, but made retroactively illegal. And I think that people, that really woke people up. That's, you know, that was one of the reasons that started looking at a Canadian bank run that never, you know, materialized. But at the same time, just the thought of it scared the government. So I think that people are waking up that something's wrong. You know, and Alex and I were kind of talking about this just in our brainstorming that people, all the changes going on, someday something that everybody cares about is going to be made, you know, change, right? You have the EPA decision. So environmentalists now are up in arms, or you have the Roe v. Wade, and you have two sides to that one too. How are you going to support causes that you feel are right when the government, whatever side is on or up, tells you you can't. How are you going to do it? How are you going to be punished for a donation that you made to Planned Parenthood? Are you going to be put in jail because they find out that you gave cash to, you know, an environmental group, that or that kind of stuff? And people don't think it can happen. And I'll tell you, it can, and it's going to, unless we do change a lot of what we have. And I think that aspect, that no intermediary aspect of Bitcoin, is going to be one of the biggest selling points, in terms of the growth when people see what they're actually facing. So,
yeah, I agree with all of that. I think that the use cases for Bitcoin are becoming more obvious to sort of developed Western countries, whereas mm-hmm. they've been, you know, pretty obvious to people that live in, you know, with less financial privilege than we do for a long time. Overall right now, you know, the space is, you know, been kind of going through this bear market, you know, and everyone is ornery and wants to fight during the bear market. Twitter gets pretty bad sometimes. But ultimately, you know, the bear market is when things get built. You know, when there's just less attention, builders get to just build and not focus on all the hype and stuff like that. So I'm excited to see what comes out, you know, on the mm-hmm. other side.
Absolutely. And then just to wrap it up here, how does everybody get a hold of the Nevada County Bitcoiners and reach out to you guys?
So we have a meetup. So you can hit us up on Meetup. Our Twitter handle is at NevcoBTC, NevcoBTC. So either one of those, people can hit us up on either one. But yeah, just if you're in the Tahoe area, if you're in Lake Tahoe, if you're in Reno, hit us up, because we'd love to even just get a drink, even if it's not a meetup week. You know, we all need more Bitcoin friends in our lives. So, you know, it's a beautiful area. The weather's great. Water's warm. So there are a lot of things that people don't love about California, and I 100% agree with. But you look out here, and none of it's bothering me right now. Everything looks pretty good. So, you know, come join us out here and see what we got and help us out, help us in ours, and help us grow and help us learn more. I think that we know we don't know everything, and we know we're going to have to learn. So come on out and show us something we don't know. Help us try and orange pill some bartenders or some businesses out here, because it's difficult for just the two of us to kind of do. So.
Right on. Well, with time, you two will definitely have more help, and you'll be surprised what's to come. So thank you guys for both coming on here and joining me. And thank you, most importantly, for doing Satoshi's work behind the scenes. So just really grateful for what you guys are doing. And thank you for coming on here. I'll catch up with you here in a sec.
Great.
Thanks a lot.
All right, so that was Nevada County Bitcoiners on Hard Money, Hard Knocks, a Bitcoin podcast. Thank you for joining us. You can listen on Fountain App, Podcasting 2.0, StreamSats, Value for Value. You can listen for free on Spotify, Apple, YouTube. Connect with us on Knoxville Bitcoin Network. And you can also check out the Bitbox O2 by Shift Crypto and use promo code Knoxville for your own signing device. All voucher rewards go to getting more Bitboxes to give away for our group. So thank you for joining us. Our next podcast will be this Saturday with the Old City Bitcoiners down in Florida. So thank you for joining us.